Let us read a word of God before we pray from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Here Paul is writing to his contemporaries, and today this word is addressed to us. Perhaps we are facing this time more than in those days. But when I read it, I thought, how did this man of God say all this in advance and perhaps see it and have it revealed to him by the Spirit? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here Paul says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Up to here, this precious word, perhaps one more passage. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Up to here, these dear and precious words of the man of God. I believe these words are still speaking to us today, for every word is spirit and life and is valid to this day. May the faithful God grant us grace, so that we can indeed give thanks to our God in all situations and always be joyful and offer worship to our Lord. And that is why we have come together tonight. And these exhortations, let us heed them, let us reflect on them, and let us not grow weary and faint in the struggle and in the course of this time where everything is going haywire and where sometimes it seems as if there is no glimmer of hope. But He is our hope. He is our peace. He has become our all in all. And that is why I want to look up to Him tonight and offer Him honor and praise for everything. Let us stand up and worship together. Faithful God, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts, also for this hour of grace. We thank You for Your precious and holy word. We thank You, O Lord, that we may indeed see that Your servants and apostles saw the time that is about to dawn, O Lord, and You have put it in their hearts that they should admonish Your people and draw their attention to this time and to these hours that are coming. Lord, we have arrived at this time closer to the goal than they were, and we pray fervently that You will be gracious to us in these hours, in these moments, in which we may still gather here and bring worship and praise to Your glorious name. Lord, we know the time is near. Your coming is at the door. Lord, we are not destined for the judgment of wrath, as Your servant and apostle said, but You have saved us, O Lord, and rescued us from the world and from sin and from perdition, and have destined us, Lord, for Your kingdom and for Your glory. Lord, we pray to You this evening and ask You earnestly, have mercy on us all. Take us as we are, Lord. We come to You in weakness, Lord, and in faith we look up to You, Lord, and ask You, Lord, to continue to speak to us this evening through our dear brother and through Your good Holy Spirit. Anoint him, anoint us all, Lord, with a holy anointing from above, Lord. We need it, Lord. We need You, O Lord. Keep teaching us through Your word. Speak to us through Your word, O Lord. We thank You and we praise Your marvelous name. Lord, You will give above asking and understanding. For this we are so glad and so thankful. And we praise Your glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I keep wishing I could stay seated. One day I will swap places with Brother Rus and read the opening word and then tell him to speak. We are among ourselves, are thankful that we no longer need to look at the external, but at the Lord. What is the external? Everything passes away. Only what God has done in us remains. Only that which is eternal will be eternal. And he who has eternal life, says Brother Branham, has never began and will never end, just as God has not began and will not end. We are sometimes preoccupied with ourselves, especially me, and that is because so many are preoccupied with me. I'm smiling now, but it's no laughing matter sometimes. And yet, We have a number of things that we can look back on, even into the recent times, that God has done, that remain unforgotten, that give us strength to go forward again and again. And yet we bear a deep sorrow and are troubled over all those we would like to see in glory. When we read, rejoice always. I read today, and it's true. I read from 1 Thessalonians 5, but I didn't read as much as Brother Rus. I've only read 2 or 3 verses, namely verses, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And then especially verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I have read these 2 verses, pondering on them. The wrath of God will come on a scale like never before, and there will be no escape. The dignitaries and the rulers who thought they were safe will cry out on that day, "You rocks fall on us, and you mountains cover us from the wrath of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb." And it says, the wrath of the Lamb. A lamb is meek. You can only ascribe all good qualities to a lamb. But when the time of grace is over, today's Savior will be a judge. And when the time of grace and mercy is over, then there will be no more grace and no more mercy. And then God will judge without grace and without mercy all those who have defied him, who have resisted him, who have rejected his plan and not accepted salvation. His wrath will fall upon them without mercy and without compassion. And then we learn to appreciate what it means to be pardoned. Not pardoned so that the judgment of wrath can come upon us, but pardoned so that we are not handed over to the judgment of wrath, saved so as not to be lost. These are all precious truths that become great to us, and they must become even greater to us. Despite all that may come or go, we have a firm anchor in the Word of God that reaches behind the veil. And behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, and in the Ark the Word of God. It was the mercy seat. It was the place where God looked down and revealed his presence. The Holy of Holies, where the 2 cherubim spread their wings over the Ark of the Covenant. And how often did God say to Moses, "And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle"? Not once, "Gather my people to me in the outer court or anywhere else." When God gathers, it is always where He is. God will not come where we are. We must come where God is. And God is in His Word, and that is where we must come. So there are precious thoughts that become great to you, that lift you up, and it has to be said again, that words of men absolutely tear down, but the Word of God builds up. It builds you up. And we see it at the weekend, where the Lord builds the church, there He puts His ministries. That is where He reveals Himself, as He has promised in His Word. And where He cannot speak, and cannot set His ministries, as it is written, God has set into the church. And then the five ministries are listed. Where there is no divine order, there is no church of God. There can be a lot of pious activity, but the church of God is where the divine order can be established. Namely, where people allow God to do what He has set out to do according to His Word. And then we become God's co-workers. We are drawn into what He does because He speaks to us through His Word and through His Spirit. But then He wants to set His Word before our eyes as a reality. We have already looked at this several times. Whenever God spoke something, it was not spoken into a vacuum. Something always came into being. The Word of the Lord has never once returned void. Every time God spoke, it happened. When He said, "Let there be light," there was light, and nobody had to guess about it. Whatever God spoke was there. It was the answer to the spoken word. The result, the appearance of what God had spoken, was the actual confirmation of His Word. To perhaps illustrate this a little with the Bible, everywhere God spoke, exactly what He said came to pass. Sometimes people had to wait for it, but not once did they wait in vain. Often, and Brother Branham used this example almost repeatedly with Abraham, when the Lord told him that he would have a son. And 25 years passed. Time is in the hands of God. But whatever the Lord has said, the hour must strike. And the day is coming when the word of the Lord that has gone forth from His mouth will become reality. We know God no other way. And so, we will also experience the last things that the Lord has promised in His Word and that we believe. Of course, we long more and more to see what we believe, that the words we speak are really accompanied by the creative and saving and healing power of God, that they are not only heard, but that they accomplish what was expressed in them. Let us assume that the Lord turned water into wine there. He multiplied loaves of bread. He said, "Storm, calm down. Waves are silent." Whatever he said, whatever he did, wherever he was, something happened when the Lord was present. And we have already said it here and in other places. Wherever the Lord went, something happened. There was no house, no village, no town, no country where the Lord was, where something didn't happen that all the people talked about. There was no such thing. When the Lord was in Capernaum, the whole neighborhood heard about it. When he was in Jerusalem, the people talked about it. That was basically the latest news there was. Whenever the Lord went anywhere, that was the latest news. The people already knew everything else. But when the Lord went somewhere, it was news. Because wherever he went, he always did something new. He could not go into Jericho and leave the blind man sitting there by the road. He had to answer his call. He was different from everyone else. Who knows how many people may have passed by on the same day? And this man may have called out. They all passed by. But one came by that day, stopped, and said, "Let him come to me." And he healed him. That is the difference between our Lord and all the others. Now we know that he cannot walk on earth in the flesh, because he is in glory. But he dwells in us. We have emphasized that. And now he wants to reveal himself through us. And if we want to put it like this, when God had the desire to reveal himself to mankind, he prepared a body for himself in his Son and revealed himself. He worked, as we can read in the Holy Scriptures. And our Lord says, "It is not I who do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works." Now the Lord has bought the church at a high price, has paid the highest price, not gold and not silver, but has shed his holy and pure blood in order to redeem, purify, and sanctify a church in which he can dwell, in order to be able to reveal himself through the church, through the individual members. And that is the point at which we have arrived. Everyone can make words, but only God can give the answer. And if we believe that God has given us his answer, then we can hand it on. We can pass it on. Just as God was in Christ, So Christ is in us. And in Him, all of God's promises are yes and amen. In Him came the promise, and through Him comes the fulfillment. He's both. He not only said yes to that, but also amen. We sometimes say yes, and then when it occurs to us otherwise, we say no. But God said yes, and then He said amen, and that was the end of it. Is it like that or not? As humans, we are like that. We say a strong yes, and we mean it. And suddenly, circumstances arise that make us change our decision. Because we are human. And then our yes is followed by a shrug of the shoulders. And then comes a no. That doesn't exist with God. With God, everything is yes and amen. You all know what amen means. So be it. Not just, I have promised you this, but what I have promised you, let it be done as I have said to you. That's what the words yes and amen mean. We keep it short and say yes so quickly. That's a very short word, and amen too. But with God, it means very much. A promise for everything He has promised. And with it, the certainty that He will fulfill every word and make it happen. That is the point on which our faith can rest. What has kept us safe through all these storms? Was it your ability or mine? Was it our skills, our reasoning? It would have led us somewhere else. It was the grace of God and being anchored in His Word. And I'm grateful to God that we did not anchor ourselves. That would be a bad thing. But that God took His Word and anchored it in us through the Spirit. And as I said earlier, this anchor is not in front of the veil, because then anyone could tinker with it and say, well, now I'm changing my mind. The anchor goes all the way behind the veil, and nobody's allowed to go there. Only once a year the high priest was allowed to go, and then not to lose something, but to come with the blood before the face of God for himself and for all the people. Many also had their part in the sanctuary. The priests had their say there. The Levites had their say outside. Everywhere people had something to say. But in the Holy of Holies, only God had something to say and no one else. And there is this anchor where God spoke, where He spoke with His glory, where His Word was, there was also His presence. There He gave the answer on the basis of the blood that was brought into His presence. And there we have it again, that there are three that bear witness and work: the water, the Word, and the blood, or Spirit, Word, and blood. These three work in our lives. And through faith in our Lord, what was originally foreseen in God's plan to happen through the blood must happen. It must happen. What was to happen through the Word must happen through the Word. What was to happen through the Spirit must happen through the Spirit. Everything works together. An overall redemption after spirit, soul, and body. And if we only look at some of what is written about the Spirit, when I am lifted up, then the Spirit will come and convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit of God begins to work, then to renew, to bring about the new birth. But this must also be said, the Spirit of God hovered over the deep, and nothing happened yet. But the moment the word was spoken, it happened. Here, in this word, we read, but let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. With a breastplate of faith, we must understand this. Did I even read correctly? I don't hear an amen. I'm not sure. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Many of us can still remember when the tanks rolled along the streets. The sound still rings in my ears today. It was a fine sound. There was always something about it. When the cars were driving, it was so normal. But when the tanks rolled with their tracks like that, it made music. There was something about it. It says, of the armor of faith. We are at war. There is no peace yet, even if they say peace and safety, as we have read. But this concerns a completely different area. As Brother Branham said in a sermon, don't think that you have become believers to have a picnic. You all know what that is. Over there, people do it every Saturday or Sunday when they have time. They put everything in the car, in the boot, and then they drive out, make a campfire, put sausages and everything on it, and open what they want to drink. It's a picnic, open air, nice and cozy. And Brother Bram says, those who have become believers, let them not think they can now start holding picnics here and there. But we have been put into a battle and must put on the armor of God. And if we then can believe that the Lord has already conquered everything, then we will feel a little better. Only if we look at the circumstances and at ourselves, we could take our heads in both hands and say, Lord, go on, but without me. Yes, that's what it looks like. But if we have the grace to express our trust in Him anew and say, Lord, not of myself, but through what you have worked in me, I have confidence in you and know that you will do it well. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. I wish that for myself with all my heart. We don't just want to have read that. I really do, because I need something that can ward off everything. Really, the biggest armor there is, that would be just good enough for me. You know what I mean. I'm speaking spiritually. We no longer have anything to do with the other things. I could really use a good tank like that. And you know very well that if you have ever sat in a tank, you are not sitting somewhere by the steering wheel. You are sitting inside the tank. He only has his peephole and nothing more. He's gone. He's no longer visible. He sits in there and steers. If it could become like this with us, that we could be so safe in the divine armor that we can no longer be hit. Only the armor can be hit, not the person sitting in it. He's gone. When the cover of the loophole closes, it's all over. He sits in there and the tracks are rolling for victory. That's how it is earthly. Should it be different spiritually? If we are hit so often, and I say this to myself personally now, then perhaps it is because we have not gone into the tank, but have proceeded unwisely in this spiritual battle and have not yet realized that war is not just a game, but that it is real. Bombs are falling everywhere and things are really moving. Many people only realized the war when things started to happen to them. Until then, they had only heard about it. We must all prepare ourselves for the fact that the spiritual battle is getting hotter and more powerful, and that the worst weapons the enemy has ever used are now being used. Brother Branham actually said that the development in the earthly realm runs parallel to the development in the spiritual realm. He says there has always been a parallel between these two things. And if we look outwards at the threat and what they already have and what they can destroy with, then even those who sometimes feel strong could become afraid. Is it not the same in the spiritual? That the enemy has announced a general mobilization. And of course, he will first of all pounce on the people who are on the front line. Many were in the war, but they hadn't seen the front. Some, like my father, he wasn't at the front, but he was in hospital during that time. And then he came home at the end without having seen the front. There are also people like that in the war who were not at the front and they were spared. But who fought? Who gave up their lives? That is the question. We can't retreat. We have to be brave. That's what I'm telling myself again tonight. Don't think that I have come to preach to you. If you think I have come here to preach to you, then you are mistaken. We have come here together to contemplate the Word of God together and to let it speak to us all. Is it true or not? It is not necessary for us to preach to each other here, but God wants to speak to us all and wants to say to us, children, when the enemy uses the strongest weapons, know that my weapons that I have given you are much more powerful and superior to the enemy's weapons. Trust me, I am the captain of the Lord's army. I will go with you, and I will not go behind you, but ahead of you, to take everything out of the way. If we can always keep such faith in our hearts, I wish that the atmosphere of faith that is built up in a meeting through the precious Word of God could become a firm part of our lives as believers, with which we leave here and also come back in again. You too? That seems to be the case with you. You all look as if that's the case for you and not for me. But I'm convinced that God will help us all. It goes on here, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again the emphasis on the judgment of wrath and being saved. All the wrath that should have befallen us befell our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. He endured it all. And he said on his way to Gethsemane, "This is the hour of darkness," or the power of darkness. Then came Gethsemane, and he wrestled and won the victory. And I've already said that several times. I am glad that a Peter, a James, and a John fell asleep. When he said to them, "Can you not watch with me for 1 hour?" And when he went a stone's throw away and prayed, he came back and found them asleep. We read here that we are to be watchful and sober. The hour of darkness has come upon us. But if the apostles, the disciples, had struggled and pleaded on their knees and perhaps looked up to see if the Lord was coming back and then pleaded again more firmly so that they could show him how well they could pray, then they could always have said, "We have endured together with you. We have also wrestled. He did all alone. He prayed through alone. He carried the cross alone," until the one man from Cyrene, who was it? The man they put it on when he collapsed. Yes, Simon von Cyrene. But none of the disciples could do anything so that he wouldn't say afterwards, "Well, I also had a part in the whole thing. I did this and that." No one, our Lord and Savior, did everything. And one of his disciples, who was closest to him, he said, "Lord, and if I lay down my life for you?" And the Lord looks at him and says, "Listen, I will tell you what will happen. Before the cock crows once, you will have denied me 3 times. "Ha! Never!" He said all kinds of things. He said, "No way. I'm going through here." But what the Lord said happened. No Peter, no John, no James. Nobody could say, "I have done this and that. I have helped the Master." Our Lord accomplished everything alone. For you and for me, for all of us. And we were not saved to be lost, not snatched from wrath, to be put under wrath again, but our punishment was laid on him. The judgment of God's wrath came upon our Lord and Savior, so that we might go out free. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That too is yes and amen. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall dawn, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Before that happens, the Lord will have come again to take his own home. Before that day comes, the Lord will return to take his own to himself, and we will not see the judgment of wrath that comes upon this earth. I don't know what we can imagine by this today, but I will tell you once again, when the time of grace is over and redemption can no longer be accepted, that the throne of grace will become the throne of judgment. And then, as you yourselves have read in the book of Revelation, the bowls of incense will no longer bring the prayers of the saints before the throne of God, but coals will be placed in these vials from the altar and thrown upon the earth. And then the great tribulation begins on this earth. The moment the bride of the Lamb is taken from this earth, the mercy seat turns into the judgment seat. The Savior becomes the judge. Grace and mercy have come to an end. Wrath falls upon those who have not accepted the divine offer of grace. When we think that so many people bypass what God offers them, it moves our hearts, and we wish that another brief moment would come in which we could present this divine offer of grace to people so that they can make their decision. May the Lord have strengthened us in our faith today. May his word, the word of the cross, become the power of God and have an effect in our lives, and then also through our lives, to the praise and honor of his name. Amen. We are in your presence. We are here to worship you. If we are silent, the stones will cry out. You have raised up children who believe and trust in you. Faithful God, we thank you that we can still come together, sitting under the sound of your word, being built up on the most holy foundation of faith. You still speak to us. You still work in us. Let us think your thoughts, O God, believe your word and work your deeds, my Lord. How we long to see your word before us as a confirmed reality. Lord, you have promised it, and we come to you not as beggars, and not to reproach you, but to speak to you about it. Let us know and recognize your plan for this time even more clearly. Give us the clear guidance of your Holy Spirit, as you have so clearly revealed your word to us. Oh my God, was there a time like this when you spoke face to face and revealed yourself and drew your people to you and revealed yourself? Lord, we praise you and worship you, and we pray, may the blood, the word, and the spirit be effective through the power of the name of Jesus Christ and through the mighty gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this and praise your holy name. Amen.